feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales.
All right, all right, all right. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue right here on WGN. And I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Weekday overnights. And, 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And at 6 o'clock, the great Steve Cochran is your morning drive guy. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. You can also send your texts for 2 for Tuesday.
Yeah!
2 for Tuesday coming up. You pick the songs you want to hear. 2 for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. Start your requests now. You can check us out on Twitter. Follow us at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. It's interactive. It's constantly happening while we're happening. And you can like us at facebook.com/Nick D Show and check out our podcast. Very popular. We thank you for that. You can check out all our podcasts at WGNradio.com and subscribe at iTunes. It'll show up for free in your device, and you can listen anytime at your leisure, bro. All right. Hey, coming up on the show, we get a couple of movie-related guests this morning. From the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, your programmer, Matthew Hoffman, is going to join us to talk about Thursday evening's screening of The Searchers. It's the 60th anniversary screening of The Searchers, and there's all kinds of extra fun activities and guests that will be there, and we'll tell you all about that. Matthew's a very cool guy. You can check out parkridgeclassicfilm.com for more information. And really cool, we're going to talk with Sophia Wong Baccio, who is the founder and executive director of the Asian Pop-Up Cinema Series. It's going to start its third season this weekend, and it's going to feature some award-winning films from around all of Asia. And there'll be at two separate theaters. We'll give you all the information. Our buddy Ron Falzone, who is the guy who moderates the Cinema Slapdown at Columbia College, and has been on the show several times, he's going to moderate the Q&As, and we're going to find out what great films from Asia will be screened and how people can go check out some really very, very cool and brand new and premiering films from Asia. That's coming up as well. And we are going to have another edition of Would Esmeralda Buy That? Esmeralda will be going on vacation after tomorrow's show for a week, so we wanted to get a couple of Esmeralda segments in here before she goes off to Boston and eats beans. I don't know. So that's coming up as well. And let's say hello to Dan Chagrou, my great producer. Hi, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you, sir?
Good, man. How about yourself?
You know, I'm all right.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. A little disappointed that there wasn't a no-hitter last night.
Hell of a game.
It was a great game. It was a great game. There's no question about it. But, yeah, it would have been nice. Just that one pitch. One pitch. Ugh. Anyway. Well, look, magic number is 3. What are you going to do? They won. So there you go. All right. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hey, Vic.
Hey, Nick.
Did you see the game?
I did. I actually wasn't watching it until we heard he had a no-hitter going, and we tuned into it.
Yeah. It's kind of heartbreaking that he didn't get it, but he pitched a hell of a game.
He's looking good.
For the playoffs, he's got to be our number one.
Wow.
He's got to be the number one starter for the playoffs. He's got to be. And Joe West can kiss my ass. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he can totally kiss my ass. That guy, I mean, he's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That guy, people have complained about that guy. He's an umpire, by the way, who pulled him just a stunt to. I mean, it was funny because I posted something about my point of view of Joe West on my Facebook page, and it's not a polite point of view. After the incident, you know, while it was happening, while I was watching it. And somebody posted, look, it was very important for Joe to make sure that the people who paid to see him umpire this game got their money's worth. That's pretty much what it came down to right there. Unbelievable. I thought Madden was going to kill him. I thought Madden was going to kill him. So, anyway. Cubs win, though. Magic number 3.
Magic number 3.
Yeah, and again, you know, I mean, they got to sweep them in order to clinch it in St. Louis. Otherwise, you're going to see it.
If they win, they still need one more win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, one more win.
They got to win tonight, and they have to win tomorrow.
Of course, I'm still going for them. I mean, it would be nice to you know, if they clinch while I'm at Wrigley Field, but I'm still, if they sweep, that's even better.
Yeah, you sweep St. Louis, clinch the division in St. Louis after sweeping them.
That would be priceless.
Please. Anyway.
Let the memes begin.
That's right. That's right. Hell of a game last night, though. Hell of a game, man. Yeah. And my man, did you see my man? No, you didn't, because you didn't start watching it till you thought there was a no-hitter going on. You didn't see Fowler smash one out.
When did he do that? No.
Sixth inning? No. Fifth inning.
I'm watching now, but I tuned in up here on the
seventh
floor.
Well, in the fifth inning, Fowler sends one out, pretty much. There it is.
Yep.
So, anyway. All right. And in the traffic central is Esmeralda Leon. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
You going to eat beans?
No.
It's Bean Town.
No. I'll probably eat some clam chowder. Some chowder.
No beans? Because you're in Bean Town.
Goodness gracious, no.
Now, see, that's as obnoxious as somebody saying, hey, you going to Chicago? Hold on to your hat because it's the Windy City. That's exactly what I was saying, is as obnoxious as somebody who's not from Chicago saying, oh boy, it's windy.
I am supposed to eat a Fenway Frank.
Yes, you are.
And I'm going to go see the Red Sox.
Yes.
And
you said they're playing the Orioles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they of any standing anywhere?
Well, no, the Sox are in, the Sox are in a pennant race.
Okay. So yeah. Is that good?
No, yeah, it's good.
Are they winning?
They're fine. They're not the Cubs.
Well, no.
But they're
no
in the heat Cubs. Of it. I mean, the late season stuff is going to, it matters to what happens to
okay,
them.
Okay, good.
Now, I mean, where are you sitting? Do you know where you're sitting?
I know it's around the bleachers. Somewhere.
Are you sitting on the monster? Are you sitting on the green monster?
We are sitting. Oh, we're sitting in the bleachers.
Oh, you're sitting in the bleachers. Cool.
L39.
Okay. Cool. I've been to Fenway twice, and I've sat in the bleachers both times.
So, yeah. We made it a point. Well, and they were the cheaper tickets.
Yes, they were. Yes, they are. But the other thing is, when I went, the last time I was at Fenway, they didn't have seats on top of the Green Monster. I think I'd be very vertigo-ous. Is that a word? At Norm Crosby, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Norm Crosby.
Do you mean, like, if you go to the...
Do you know what the Green Monster is, Esmeralda?
No, is it the Ivy?
No. There's a giant green wall in left field of Fenway.
Oh, okay. Is that the monster?
And that's the green monster, and it makes it very difficult for guys to hit home runs, you know, out of Fenway in that part of the park.
Oh, okay.
So they call it the big green monster.
Got it.
And it's been there for years. How many years ago, Dan, can you find out when they put seats up there? Because they put seats on top of the green monster.
I don't know.
When
Maybe
I went
we're there,
there, when I th- that I'm would sure. be you'd be very high up there, Esmeralda.
Oh boy, maybe not, because I think I was like, no, we'll be on top of the bleacher, like it wasn't.
Well, you're like on if you're on the top of the Green Monster, you're at the highest point in the stadium.
Oh boy, is it like what is it? The opera, the Lyric Opera. Have you ever been there?
I have.
And do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
It looks like you're just going to fall off.
Right. It is a little. I've not. You know what? I can't tell you. I've only seen it on TV. Because, like I said, the last time I was at Fenway, there were no seats on the Green Monster.
They had it in 2002-2003 season.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out.
All right.
I'll be going on Wednesday, actually.
You're going Wednesday. A week from tomorrow.
No,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're leaving straight from here?
Yes, I'm.
To go to O'Hare?
I'll have my luggage with me.
Oh.
I like to be there as early as possible. This is actually a later flight. I wanted to take like a super early flight.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay. Well, cool. So you're going tomorrow night?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You got to post pictures and you got to send me some messages,
for sure.
Okay? Make
I
sure
for
you
sure will.
Like message me from the park.
Absolutely.
Okay? Because that's so, I mean, Fenway's beautiful. It really is. You got to go there at least once. Dan, you ever go to Fenway?
I have never been.
How about you, Vic? You ever go to Fenway?
No, never been to Boston, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, it's a great town. But Fenway is, I mean, seriously, second only to Wrigley. It's the greatest park. I've heard everybody
That's
says
what
that.
I hear. Yeah.
You know, everybody says that. But it's true. It's beautiful. And I was telling Esmeralda this off the air. When you're walking around the neighborhood, it does not look like a baseball stadium. It looks like a factory. Like it's almost like it's camouflaged from the city. It's like that's not
they
a
don't
base-
want people to go in.
I guess no, but it doesn't look like a baseball stadium at all. From like if you're walking around in the neighborhood, and then when you walk in, you go, "Oh, look at this! This is like the most beautiful baseball stadium I've ever seen." So you're gonna have fun in Bean Town as long as you eat beans.
So. Nope, I'm gonna eat plenty of seafood.
All right,
and chowder.
You gotta have chowder.
And what else do you do there?
Pumpkin and I was. Pumpkin pie and have it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say that so loud. I'm going to go to Harvard and pretend awesome. To be a smarty, a farty smarty, and yell that.
Pock the con Harvard yard. Yeah. You know,
Smartsy Fartsy, by the way, was our trivia team name. That was pretty awesome. That's so random.
Smartsy Fartsy?
Smartsy Fartsy was our trivia team name.
Yeah. Is that right?
And I just saw Good Will Hunting, so now I'm all like, oh, well, where are we going to be there?
Yeah. You know what you ought to rent is the Boston Strangler with Tony Curtis.
Mm.
Yeah, you ought to rent that one. Get yourself all psyched up. All right, we got a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Olive Garden and their fantastic Eat As Much Pasta Pass As You Can Pass Pasta. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. Coming up after 2:30, we're going to talk with Matthew Hoffman, who is your program director at the programmer of the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series. They're showing one of my favorite movies of all time. In fact, in my top five of all time. And what I think is the best Western ever made and the best John Wayne performance of all time. It's the 60th anniversary of The Searchers, and they'll be showing it Thursday night, so you got to check that out. And then we're going to talk more film with Sophia Wong Baccio, who is the Asian pop-up cinema executive director and founder, and we're going to talk about some great Asian cinema that you'll have a chance to see. That's coming up after 3 o'clock. All right. Okay, so the pasta pass thing is happening again at Olive Garden. This is, of course, the never-ending pasta pass. It's $100, and you can eat as much Olive Garden pasta as you want for 7 weeks. And it starts. It's available Thursday for its third straight year. And the Darden restaurant-owned chain is selling 21,000 passes this time around, a more than tenfold increase from the 2,000. They offered in September of 2015. Last year, the passes sold out in seconds. So they're 21,000 passes. It's $100, and you can eat as much pasta as you want for 7 weeks. It says sit-down chains have had to work harder in recent years, hurt by competition from fast casual restaurants and heavy discounting at fast food rivals, and that's prompted them to get more creative with their menus and their specials. They say that the passes will ring up about $2.1 million, but the hope is that the most voracious fans will bring other people with them. Last year, we saw our pasta pass holders use their passes an average of 28 times over the 7 week period, often bringing along groups of friends, says the vice president of marketing for Olive Garden. Now, I do and have in the past gone to the Endless Shrimp at Red Lobster, and I've downed as much as 176 shrimp, I think, in one sitting at Red Lobster. So I take advantage of that. There's just something about pasta. I don't know. Like unlimited pasta. Why does that sound more gross than unlimited shrimp? Because pasta's so heavy.
Yeah, you can't eat that much of it.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's as cool a deal as, like, paying, like, what is it, $16.95 for as much shrimp as you can eat in one sitting.
Don't they do an all-you-can-eat as well sometimes at Olive Garden?
Well, no, it's all-you-can-eat salad and breadsticks.
But I thought they did, like, soups. Or you can have more than one. Yeah, and less pasta. I think they've done that before, and I'm just like, how do you even eat more than one bowl?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's what I find. Because you can get, it's they do, like, have a lunch special or something, Dan, right, where it's like endless soup, salad, or pasta, or the breadsticks.
Yeah, and the endless breadsticks were actually a major, like, sticking point, because when they got taken over a couple years ago, one of the guys who was trying to take them over wanted to eliminate breadsticks, because his thinking is people fill up on the breadsticks and then they don't buy dessert where most restaurant makes their money.
Yeah.
So he's like, that's why we're not making any money, is because everybody's stuffed by the main course and they're not, you know, going to the desserts, which is where we, you know, can upcharge everybody like 800%.
Yeah.
So, and then naturally,
you can't do
that. Peasants revolted, and that did not happen.
That's like saying if you take over Red Lobster that you're going to stop the Cheddar Bay biscuits. Because I think
don't
even think about that. That's not even funny to joke about. You know what I mean? Could you imagine if
devastated.
Red Lobster? Oh my God! If Red Lobster said, "Yeah, no more Cheddar Bay biscuits." What? Now the thing is, if you're going to Red Lobster during the Endless Shrimp, you can't be sucked in by the by the biscuits. Now, when you go to Red Lobster on a regular night, when there's no promotion or endless shrimp or something, you load up on biscuits because those biscuits are awesome.
Oh, but you have a couple, right?
No, you can't have a couple. Not if you want to eat, not if you want to maximize your shrimp intake.
One.
One is all you can have. I only have one whenever
I
go.
And then stuff the other ones in your purse.
Well, yeah, you can wrap them up and take them. I recommend doing that, and I have during Endless Shrimp. Like afterwards, just taking like five biscuits with me, you know. But no, you got to make room for the shrimp, man. You got to just shove the shrimp down your throat. It's fantastic. So that should be coming up soon. It's usually in the fall. Does it coincide with stuff your face with pasta time? Because it's usually in the fall. I remember it's like when bear season comes around, usually Endless Shrimp starts at Red Lobster. It should be right around the same time.
I feel like I could out-eat you on the shrimp.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not like one of my... I had a friend who had like 220 shrimp or something in one sitting. And I asked in Lincolnwood, because that's the one that we go to in Lincolnwood. I asked the people in Lincolnwood what the record was. And of course, it was a little Asian guy. Because, you know, those are the guys who win all the hot dog eating contests and all the other stuff. But he had, it was like 490 shrimp or something like that in one sitting. It also depends on the shrimp that you order, too. Stay away from breaded stuff. You know? The fried stuff. I usually stick with scampi.
Although that, too, can get a bit much because of the grease,
yeah,
the butter.
Yeah, but it just goes, it just slides right down your throat and into your gullet. It's fantastic. All right, we got a break here. We'll talk more about this a little bit later on. And, of course, we'll find out what Esmeralda buy that. That's coming up. But right now, we got a break. We got the news coming up. And then Matthew Hoffman's going to tell us all about his screening of The Searchers.